बाहे नरसिंह हृदय नरसिंह बाहे नरसिंह हृदय नरसिंह हे नरसिंह मेरे शरणं प्रपद्ये हे नरसिंह मेरे शरणं प्रपद्ये वक्र कमल वरे अद्भुत श्रृंगा दलिता हिरण्यकशि तनो भृंगाशवधूता नरहर जगदीश हरे जय जगदीश हरे जय जगदीश हरे राम वरे मखान अद्भुत श्रृंगार दलिता हिरण्यकशि तनो भृंगार केशवधूता नरहर रूपा जगदीश हरे जय जगदीश हरे जय नरसिंह दे नरसिंह दे नरसिंह दे जय नरसिंह दे जय मर हरे मर हरे मर हरे जय मर हरे जय प्रहलाद महाराज प्रहलाद महाराज प्रहलाद महाराज जय प्रहलाद महाराज So now coming to the sixth key, having discussed the first five, what is the first one? Second? Third, fourth, discipline, fifth, attachment. So now it is sixth in this regard. So basically disregard means that how to deal with the mind. Now the mind has been described as the greatest friend of one who controls it, and the greatest enemy of someone who cannot control it. I would like to welcome His Grace Simeshwar Prabhu, who is present with us. Haribo! Thank you very much for joining us, and we will be inviting him to speak towards the end of this session his words of blessings for all the devotees. So, disregard, if you want good japa, then one of the key factors is we have to neglect the mind. And that is not the end. We are not in the process of, we are not in the international society for the mind neglect. But, and that is what like some of the processes do, like Vipassana and all that, it is focused on neglecting. But we are more interested in making the mind quiet and in the natural state in sattva, unaffected by passion or plan-making intelligence. So many people have experienced that during japa some of the best ideas come. And so many ideas are coming, and you know, from the first round to 16th round, the whole plan is executed in the mind. We go through all these motions, right? So the mind and the intelligence have this dynamics. So therefore, we must make the mind unaffected by the passion or plan-making intelligence. So we have this factor for logic and reason. So because of that, it becomes very difficult to follow any simple process. Simply hear for 2 hours, how is it possible? Because we are so much used to using our intelligence and logic and reason. Just like one time one logician went to a village. And then villagers are very, very simple and nice people. And this village, one farmer, he had a bull. And the bull was going around. And you know, we have this machine for making oil. So the bull was going around and crushing the seeds, and oil was being produced. The logician came, looked at this whole setup with great skepticism, turned towards this farmer and said, "What is this going on?" Said, "We are making oil." The logician said, "Why is the bull going round and round?" Said, "Well, because the oil needs to be brought out, and this is the way the machine is designed." Then the logician said, "Why is the bull having this bell under its neck, and the bell is making sound continuously? Why is that?" The farmer said, "Well, I am doing other activities. I don't know whether the bull is working or not, so when I hear the sound of the bell, I know bull is working. Therefore the bell is there." The logician said, "Ah, that is where you are such a stupid fool. Don't you realize that the bull can stand at one place and simply shake his head, and still the sound of the bell will come? How do you know he is working? You didn't figure that out?" The farmer said, "He is a simple bull and not a logician like you. He will not think like that." So we have this intelligence, we have this sense of logic, but we should know that during chanting, there is no use for that. It has to be kept aside, which is very, very difficult to accept and believe. And how can I shut down my system, intelligence, for 2 hours and just keep hearing? So therefore, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explained that sattva sanjayate jnanam rajaso lobha evacha. Tamaso ajnanam and moham, foolishness, madness and illusion, they arise out of tamoguna. So therefore, our greatest mistake is we accept the mind as authority, and under the influence of the intelligence, the mind involves the intelligence, moral passion takes over, and sattva-gun becomes impossible. All this is happening when you are sitting with your eyes closed and bead bag in hand. Rajogun doesn't mean that you have to go around doing all kinds of activities. The whole process of plan making, which is happening at the time of japa, is a symptom of the rajogun, which is induced by activating the intelligence. So therefore the important thing is keep the mind alert to hear the holy name, at the same time keep the intelligence shut off. Both must happen simultaneously. That is the whole idea. That is the meaning of disregard. So the mind is a projector projecting on smoke. various different plans, different shapes, different forms, ideas, but the smoke has no substance, so is the mind's imagery, like that. So therefore, you should appreciate that we have to pull the mind back. And then listen to one mantra at a time again. So how to do all rounds at once? The mind will demand. How will I finish my 16 rounds? Oh, it's already 7 o'clock. How will I finish my 16 rounds? And then when you have begun your first round, during your first round of chanting, the mind is constantly thinking that only. Oh, I already got up late. I started my chanting late. I have a busy schedule. Till night, 10 o'clock, everything is packed up. How will I do my rounds? So you are chanting your first round, but you are worrying about your 15th and 16th round. So the mind will demand answer, and intelligence is forced to supply. So in the response to that, the intelligence begins. In the second round, the answer starts coming. By the time fourth round comes, you have everything figured out. But four rounds you have gone. So therefore, the Rajogun will carry us away. So that's the whole idea, that the Rajogun and Tamogun put together, they create a lot of disturbance. And we should be extremely careful not to allow these influences to affect us. Prabhupada was, you know, preaching in so many areas of the world where people could not even imagine. Prabhupada went to Africa. And the condition was so bad, I mean, Prabhupada's compassion was such that he had faith that holy name can be chanted by anyone, anywhere. The power of the holy name. Even though their activities may be rajasic or tamasic or whatever, holy name has the power to lift you up. When Prabhupada went, he found that the next morning when he got up, his clothes were missing. And then he started searching for his clothes, it was not there, where it was hanging. Then Prabhupada took out another spare set of clothes, wore those, sat for Bhagavatam class, started chanting Radha Madhava. As Srila Prabhupada began chanting Radha Madhava, he saw that one brahmachari had his kurta, another brahmachari had his uttariya, another brahmachari had another set of his clothes. So different articles of his clothing were on different brahmacharis' bodies. Because that was the culture there in Africa. Whatever you find, just pick it up. So Prabhupada began his Bhagavatam class by saying, one must not steal spiritual master's clothes. That was the level from where Bhagavatam began. But Prabhupada extended himself, right? Because he knew people have to be brought up as much as possible. And in this way, the preaching began in Africa. It was not easy. Dhananda was saying, they were distributing books, doing Harinam, Sankirtan. One boy came and he invited Dhananda Prabhu. Now he is Dhananda Maharaj. I think he visits here regularly. So, he told Dhananda Maharaj that, why don't you come and visit our home. Why don't you come to our home for food? My father is calling you for lunch. Then he became very kind of fearful. Because in Africa, if someone says, come home for lunch, in the middle of Africa, it could mean either you get lunch or you may become lunch also. So he went there, and when he went inside, he found that the gentleman was like a chieftain or something. And he had, very nice disposition towards devotees. He invited him, made him sit, and then said, I have this son and I wanted to train him up and I found this Bhagavad Gita. Can you let me understand what this means? And it was Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the middle of the jungles of Africa. Devotees were distributing and somehow they found. So therefore, this preaching mission is beyond the modes. It is beyond the sattvagun, rajogun, tamogun. It has created influence in the most tamasic area, in the most tamasic of consciousness. Why it will not affect us if we simply hear? So therefore we should have that hope and we should have that faith. That's critical. So the next idea is, do not trust the mind. The hunter doesn't put faith on captured animals. Bhagavatam 5th canto gives this example, that when a hunter captures an animal and places him in captivity, then after some time he becomes lenient, doesn't look towards that. So then that same animal takes advantage, turns around and kills the hunter because of neglect, because of not being very attentive towards keeping that animal captive. So if we think, oh, I've been chanting for a few years, now my mind is pacified, no problem, now I can relax. That uncontrolled mind can become deadly. It is very powerful, because it is described in the Bhagavad Gita, one of the names for Krishna used is Hari. Hari. Hari means one who takes away. Hari also means monkey. Hari also means Yamaraj, because Yamaraj takes away life. Hari also means sun, because sun takes away water by its heat. Hari means monkey, because if you carry something, monkey will snatch away. Monkey will come and snatch away. Very, very agitated animal. One of our devotees was in a yatra in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is full of monkeys. And we get disturbed by the monkeys, thinking why they are disturbing us. We don't realize they are getting disturbed by us. Who are these people coming in my home? That's what they are thinking. So one gentleman was, you know, buying some tarbuj, watermelon. So the person selling watermelon cut the watermelon and placed it in front of this prabhu. Suddenly out of nowhere one big huge monkey came and jumped right there on top of that cart, the vegetable seller, of this fruit seller. And as this devotee held both these pieces of watermelon in his hand, the monkey came, really muscular fellow, did like this, and with the other hand did like this. And this devotee, he saw no one else was nearby. And he looked at the fruit seller, and the fruit seller said, no other way. He just gave protection money. So he just gave it. And the monkey took it and left. You know, Vrindavan monkeys live in style. Prabhupada, one of the monkeys suddenly entered Prabhupada's room, entered and took his slippers, went up. One pair of slippers. And devotee went chasing with a stick. Prabhupada said, that is not the way. So Prabhupada took one banana and showed it to this monkey. And the monkey took the shoe and showed it like this. With bargaining going on. And the monkey picked up the banana and kept the shoe also. First round he won. Again another banana was given. Again the same thing happened, the monkey took. So two, three times it happened. Monkey got all the bananas, didn't give the shoe back. Finally he found it useless, took the shoe and started chewing it and threw it down. That shoe is still kept in one devotee's house in Florida in a glass case as a in memorial of this Buddha. And then Prabhupada said, just see, he noticed business. Eating, sleeping, making, defending. So the monkey is extremely agitated. You can't keep that monkey still at one place. Like that, the mind is also like a monkey, highly agitated. You cannot keep it still. And therefore, one cannot put faith on the mind. One has to be vigilant and watch the mind's actions. Because the mind is restless, it's a cheater, and we can see that in the example when eighth canto describes Lord Shiva's dealing with Mohini Murti and Shaubhari Muni under the water, he got attracted to the fishes because of the influence of the mind. And Bhagavatam also compares this to unchaste women and unrestricted mind, and sometimes the paramours can come together and kill the husband. Similarly, this shloka in Bhagavatam says, kama, krodha, lobha, etc. They can kill the yogi. Therefore, Prabhupada says, the mind is the original cause of material bondage. Mana eva manushyanam karanam moksha bandhayo. Mind is responsible for bandhan and moksha both simultaneously. So the solution is to engage in Krishna consciousness, not to trust but just neglect the mind, because the mind tastes mundane rasas. So when you are just tasting mundane rasas, you just think this is reality. And you become obsessed with your false identities. Based on false identities, conflicts happen. Conflicts happen because of the false identifications. Just like one husband and wife, they have some difficulty in their marriage. So they said, we'll stay separate for 6 months and probably after that we may go for a divorce. This was in Greece, true story. And the husband, during this period of 6 months, one day met a book distributor. The book distributor met him and said, material life is full of miseries because any relationship with mate ultimately creates trouble. He said, yeah, that's right. You're absolutely correct. What is the solution? Gave him the Ishopanishad. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purna Purnamudachyate. Develop relationship with Krishna. Everything will be perfect. He took the book, started reading, became a devotee. Just 2-3 days later, the wife met the same book distributor. She also purchased Ishopanishad. Now after 6 months, both of them met each other. So the husband, he was there with the papers and everything, and he suddenly looked at the wife's, you know, throat and saw Kantimala. And he looked at her and said, what is that? What is that you are wearing? And she said, you can never understand. Just forget it. Let's continue our business. The husband had his coat and tie. He pulled it down. And he also had Kantimala. And she said, you also? How did you get that? How did you get that? Well, I met a devotee and he gave me this book. And she took out Ishopanishad. And he took out Ishopanishad. And they said, wow, for the first time in 15 years we are doing something common. Let us give it a chance. They forgot about divorce and now they have God Nita deities at home. So I give an example. Prabhupada's books can many times save divorce, save marriage and protect the marriage. Because we need something in common. Otherwise one mind and another mind means so many varieties here, so many varieties here. How can a common point be achieved? So therefore, the mind will taste so many rasas. The alternative is provide spiritual relish. And the mind will have certain plans, the determination, but the mundane form is the one which relishes the emotions, which may be pleasant and unpleasant. So the mind will keep giving options. You know, okay, eating this food, will it be pleasurable? Not pleasurable. Meeting this person, will it be pleasurable? Not pleasurable. Will it be pleasant? Unpleasant. So constantly we are going through ichcha and dvesh. The mind is presenting options continuously. That's why Krishna told Arjuna, tanti tikshat subharata. Don't decide your performance and non-performance of duty based on this. This is called speculation. That every time an object, a place, a circumstance or relationship comes in front of us, we first consider, will this give me pleasure? If it will give me pleasure, I keep it. If it not, I will donate it. So that is called speculation. And that ultimately creates a lot of unpleasantness. So one is constantly traveling between dualities, and thus one engages in materialism forever. So this critical factor is something, you know, we have to appreciate that how the mind, which is constantly tormenting us, will never allow us to rest in peace like that. So therefore, if only I could run again. So all of us have a whole list. Even during japa, these fantasies keep coming. If only I could run again. If only I had been more intelligent. If only I had better memory. If only I had... How many of you have this experience of if only thoughts, you know, coming to you when you are chanting? Different thoughts will keep coming. If only this, if only that. Someone approached Prabhupada and said, all of you people are always chanting Hare Krishna, you are telling everyone to chant Hare Krishna. If you preach like this, what will happen if the whole world starts chanting Hare Krishna? Prabhupada said, don't worry, there will always be fools like you who will never chant. So many times one thinks, oh, everyone is going to start chanting. It's not so easy. It's extremely difficult because you have to give up all the speculation and just focus on hearing the holy name. I used to give prasad to one of my friends in college. You know, he used to chant one round. I used to tell him, chant four rounds. He said, no, 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 one is sufficient. Not too much, not too little. So then he went to America and then I lost touch with him. Then last year, 2 years back when I went to America, I found that in Laguna Beach, someone is dancing and looks exactly like him. I said, hey, I think I know you. He said, yes, you used to come to my room to give prasad and you used to tell me, chant Hare Krishna. I used to chant only one round. I never chanted more. And you used to tell me, material world is a place of misery. I would never believe. Material world is place of misery. I used to think America is all pleasure. You gave me the Gita, I kept it, I didn't read it. But I would make sure I chant my one round so you would come and give me prasad. So I was attached to that prasad, so I chanted the minimum one round for the prasad. When I came to America, I registered for MS. I started realizing material world is miserable. When I went for PhD, I realized it is more miserable. When I started working, I realized it is most miserable. Then I got married, all my answers were fully obtained. Then I thought everything I have, money, good family, nice children, everything is there, but dissatisfaction is there. What to do? So then I turned back to the Gita which you gave them. Then I thought, let me search the temple. And I came to the temple, started chanting, and this year I got initiated. And I become an initiated devotee. So I used to give him prasad in 1992. He became initiated in 2007. So I told him, sometimes prasad takes 15 years to digest. So you meet someone now, don't expect instantly. Because so many if only are there. After becoming full-fledged devotees also, these thoughts don't give us. So therefore it takes time. So if only the mind will grasp and magnify your apparent inabilities. You may have some little thing which you cannot do and you look at someone else and say, oh, he is able to do this, I am not able to do that. Why Krishna you did like this? And you are smiling also. You are standing on the mountain smiling at me after doing this also. So we have some insignificant thing and we get totally bugged by that. And then we think it is more important to meditate and lament You know, meditate on this lamentation more than on hearing the holy name. And then we think, okay, in this life I am so disturbed, there are so many problems in family, in business, in occupation, with children, with failed expectations. Attentive chanting cannot be possible this life. Next life I'll try. This life I'll just honor prasad. I'll be with devotees. Just chant, that's all. And then that's how the mind will convince that, okay, next life, right? And embracing the mental fluctuations. If only I had invested now, I would have liked so much. Oh, if only I had taken the money out. If only I had taken this job. If only I had this relationship. Right? But you should know there is no end to those fluctuations. Waiting for the mind's fluctuations and desires to end is like waiting for the ocean waves to stop. If you are standing on the beach, is there any hope that the waves of the ocean will stop? The waves will never stop. They will just continue on. Like two friends were on a walk. One friend looked at the other friend and said, "Hey, you're looking very sad. What's the problem?" Said, "Well, my dear friend, what can I say? 3 weeks back, one of my grandmothers, she died and she left behind, you know, $500,000 for me." Said, "Ooh, that's big." "And then what?" "2 weeks back, one of my uncles died and, you know, he left behind, $750,000 for me." Said, "Wow, that's amazing." "And then what?" "And last week, one of my aunts, she loved me so much, she also left her body. She left behind $1,000,000 for me." Man said, "Then why are you looking so sad?" "This week I am waiting, nothing has happened." Is there any end to our hopes, to our desires, to our list of unfulfilled plans? That is never going to happen. So we will get cheated thinking, once these plans are fulfilled, then I will sit peacefully and chant peacefully and attentively and hear every syllable as per the seminar. But I will apply after this plan is full, because I want to do everything thoroughly and perfectly. So till these thoughts are disturbing, I will allow those thoughts to disturb. Later, Krishna will make all arrangements when I will begin my attentive chant. The time to start is now. Whatever may be happening, right? The waves will never stop. You have to become an expert boatman. And you should know how to navigate through troubled waters. That is the critical thing. Like that. So therefore, neither this if only thoughts are neither innocent nor harmless. Don't think, "I am not having envious thoughts. I am only thinking about myself, a few plans here and there." No one is going to be harmed. But you should know that once these thoughts get fixed in your mind, they have the power to take you to the next life and give another body. And it will ensure endless future of aimless wandering, and we will defeat our purpose of going back to God. So we have to find the spiritual focus and neglect the if-only thoughts. Very important. And the only thought worth hearing is, "If only I had love for Radha and Krishna." And that is Mahaprabhu's if only prayer. Right? That is, he said that Yugayatam Nimeshena Chakshusha Pravasayam Shunyayatam Jagat Sarvam Govinda Virahinam. So Mahaprabhu is praying in this mood, "If only we had love for Radha and Krishna. So therefore, Nama Chintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purva Sarsa Nitya Mukto Avinatvam Nama Namina. So we have to embrace the holy name with our consciousness, not possible with mundane hopes. That is the principle. Will we actually be happy if we never learn to hold the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna in our hearts? Neglect the mind that doesn't take you to Krishna, but if the mind hankers to become a true devotee, don't neglect that mind. So the if only thought which can be entertained is, if only I can become a more sincere devotee and chant with great feeling and prayerfully the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we should know that whenever some problems come, it is Krishna who is arranging those problems specifically for us at that particular juncture, right? Just like when a small child is taken to the doctor by the parents for injection, the parents tell the child, we are taking you for picnic. Child is very happy. When he enters the doctor's clinic, he smells strange and he thinks it doesn't smell like a picnic spot. But still he enters the doctor's cabin, a doctor is smiling and says, welcome, welcome, how are you doing? And then the child sits down suspiciously. Then the doctor takes out his injection and the child realizes it is a trap. And then the doctor is saying, don't worry, it will not hurt. And the child is thinking, yeah, let me try it on you, if it will not hurt. And then somehow the doctor catches hold of the hand and starts splitting, and the child is crying out, Mommy, Papa! And both parents look at the child and say, don't worry, beta, nothing will happen. And he's shocked, even they are with the doctor. They are all part of the plan. How is this happening? But then when the same child grows up, he needs to go to the doctor, he himself goes, pays money and tells the doctor, give me injection. What has changed? The medicine is same, injection is same, the doctor is same, but what has changed? Maturity. The child is immature. He considers the doctor's injection to be bad for him, painful for him. And as an adult, he realizes this pain will protect me from the future pain of repeated birth and death. Girayo varshadharabhi hanyamanana vidyatu abhibhuyamanagyatanai yatha adhokshaja chetasa. Tenth canto of Bhagavatam describes description of rainy season in Vrindavan. When rains fall upon a huge mountain cliff, then the torrential downpour cleanses all the top of the rocks. It lashes down heavily on the rocks, but that torrential downpour cleanses the rocks and the rocks start sparkling. Similarly, a devotee, although practicing Krishna consciousness sincerely, may suddenly go through seasons in his life where a torrential downpour of problems happen one after another without respite. And that may affect his state. And he may start thinking, from where is this rain coming? From where are these problems coming? But he should know Krishna is arranging that so that his heart, his faith is not shaken like a mountain, but it gets cleansed. Therefore, if only is something which we should have limits to, and it should only focus on how to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Key 7, depth. Depth means to develop humility. Humility. And only when we have humility, we will have sufficient depth in our Krishna consciousness. So, in the Shikshastakam verses, the verse 1 is describing about the various effects of chanting Hare Krishna. In verse 2, it describes how if we don't chant, because we don't have taste for the holy name, we fail to get the effect of chanting. Durdaiva iha jani na anuraga. So because of offenses and aparad and anarthas, which prohibit us from serving Krishna. So all these things will all depend on the effort. So the effort to perfect chanting will only lead to ecstasy. And the verse 3 describes that what is the expectation of the Lord? That we chant with humility. Nadati sunichena sarorati sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. So this is a very very critical verse from the Shikshastra on humility. So our acharyas have given so many wonderful literatures to help us understand and advance in Krishna consciousness. I was talking to one gentleman in India. You can see that how this Bollywood and all these films have completely captured the mind of the people in India. You quote any verse from the Shastra, no one in India will know. You start singing one song from some famous Hindi or Tamil movie, everyone will join. Right? You start singing Bhaktivinoda Thakur song, we need song book. You start singing a song of some film which you have seen in 20 years back, and somehow everything comes back as it is. I was telling one boy that, you know, you are from Bengal, do you understand how much Bengal has contributed? We are Gaudiya Vaishnavas, all the literatures are coming from him, are coming from Bengal. And we begin our day by chanting Guru Ashtakam. And that has been written by great Acharya from Bengal, Vishwanath Chakravarti. Do you know him? Do you know Vishwanath Chakravarti? He said, I don't know, I only know Mithun Chakravarti. So over a period of time, the whole culture is lost. So Srila Prabhupada had to struggle to give the message to Indians. And he took a, you know, route via US. He went to America, preached to Americans, they came here, and then the Indians got inspired by seeing that. Right? So therefore, these principles of humility are often quoted in Dainya Bodhika prayers of great acharyas. If you see Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans, Narottam Das Thakur's bhajans, they are all like this. Janiya Shuniya Vishak Haima. So acharyas' bhajans have this humility. So the essence of devotional process is this. And then we need to have faith. And what is that faith? Faith is to have both knowledge and intelligence. And with that, we will be able to concentrate. So if we have insufficient strength, because we have a very high estimation of ourselves because of false ego. So when you have faith in yourself, that is false ego. When you have faith in Krishna, that is humility. So it is all a matter of what kind of faith one develops in due course of time. Beautiful. So therefore, the mind must be focused on putting faith in Krishna and chanting of the holy names. And we should have the sincerity to please Krishna and the Vaishnavas. That faith and sincerity, if we have, everything is taken care of. Devotees were put in a court case in New York and they said, Hare Krishna is a cult. Hare Krishna is a cult. So devotees told Prabhupada, we have to defend ourselves. What should we do? Prabhupada said, don't worry. Bring my books to the court and then start speaking from the books, because cult means no Shastric basis. If it is not a cult, it has Shastra. So bring Bhagavatam, first canto, first chapter, first verse. Explain the whole verse in the courtroom in front of everyone. Then one first day, the court case, the proceedings are over. Then next day they will ask, okay, what is the argument further? Read the second verse.
Then third day, read the third verse. Convert the fourth day into Bhagavatam class. So the devotees did exactly that. They started presenting. You know, and the judge was thinking, okay, after 1 week of 7-8 verses were over, the judge was bewildered. How long is it going to go? He asked, how much more evidence you have for presenting? And the devotee showed Bhagavatam set, kept there. All this is still remaining, my lord. So the judge got bewildered. At night he called up his friend, who was a professor in Harvard Business School, in Harvard Divinity School. He said, hey, what do you think about these Krishnas? There is a case that they are a cult, but they are presenting books. What do you think about these books? He said, oh, the Krishnas, yeah, yeah, Swami Prabhupada, I got those books. They are bona fide, not a cult. Oh, thank you, it saves me a lot of time. Next day he declared in the court, Hare Krishna, bona fide religion. One book distributor gave one set of Bhagavatam to one professor in Boston, in Harvard. And he had a friend who was a court judge in New York. Both were friends. He had read the book, he was convinced. He just gave a reference call, got the reference, case was in our favor. So you may think, I am giving him a book, how will it help him? It has a connection. It will come. So you just have to make sure that the service goes on without interruption. You cannot understand how things will work in the long run. You just have to do your duty. That's the main thing. Therefore, that sincerity to please the Vaishnava will actually give humility. And sometimes humiliation comes before humility because we become painfully aware of our limited capacity, and we will become embarrassed, and we may even become unsuccessful in our efforts. It happens all the time. So we may go through this humiliation. And sometimes the neophyte thinks that he is advancing very quickly, and he considers bhakti as series of activities and not something coming from the heart. So the vision of humility is actually that just like in a dark room, everything appears to be one. But when the light is there, you realize Krishna is great, I am small. Just like in a room, when the light is there, you see, here is a pillar, this is where I am. Then bhakti becomes easy. Then you only see the dirt all around, and cheto darpana marjanam. That awakens the humility. Therefore, a person chanting Hare Krishna and not chanting may appear to him. Just like, for example, a judge goes to the court in a government Mercedes van with a security guard, with a gun. The prisoner, he is sitting in the prisoner's van going to the court, and the prisoner is thinking, judge is going to court, I am going to court. He is going in a government vehicle, I am also going in a government vehicle. In fact, my vehicle is bigger than his vehicle. Judge is having security guard, I have one double security guard. I don't know why still people are looking at me like this. So are both the same? Both are very different. Similarly, two people may appear to be doing the same profession externally, but inside, one is against Krishna, one is for Krishna. There were two people fighting on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Arjuna and Duryodhana. Both were fighting. Duryodhana was expert, efficient, he could manage everything well, he could do things well, he was charitable, this, that. Is it not? I asked question to people, if there is a son born in your family, how many of you will keep their son's name Duryodhana? Anyone? Okay, will you keep the name Dushyasan? And give him nickname Dushu? My dear Dushu, such a cute looking name, cute sounding name. What's the problem? What's wrong? Even people, new programs have asked this question, and people say, I don't know why, but that character seems to be a little garbled. That Duryodhana appears to be a little off. So, do you know the Gita? You know, I don't know the Gita, I don't know any religion, I am an atheist, but still, you know, I would not prefer Duryodhana. That means they have some idea. And why you keep Arjun? So many people keep their sons in Arjun. Why? Because both were fighting, but for what cause are you fighting? That is critical. So therefore, the vision of the prospective chanter should be that he is lower than a blade of grass, and the grass may spring up as a Vaishnava isn't. And critic, the mood should be that we always have hope. And the path of pure chanting is full dependence on Krishna, and the natural result of sincere desire for advancement in devotional service and bhakti. So devotees are constantly trying their level best to create this kind of transformation so that people can actually develop a taste in Krishna consciousness and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When this you know, this election were going on in America, Al Gore, you know, and Bush, they stood against each other. So during that campaign, devotees were on Harinam, and they came to one place where Al Gore supporters were shouting slogans, victory to Gore, victory to Gore, victory to Gore. And the devotees came up to them and said, hey, you know what, we are also followers of Gore. Their idea of Gore Nikai, Gore. So we suggest that we also want to support you. We will shout victory too, right? And you shout in our language, in our Indian tradition, victory too is called Nikai. Okay? That is a translation of victory too. So you chant Nikai Gore. So let's exchange. Let there be a cultural exchange. Okay? We will chant victory to Gore, you chant Nikai Gore. Okay? They are. That's a very good idea. So the devotees said, victory to Gore, and all these supporters of Al Gore said, Nikai Gore, Nikai Gore, Nikai Gore. So the devotees got them to chant the holy names. So that is, you know, devotees are always trying different ways. How people can take to the chanting of the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, since we have very little time, so we won't go deep into this particular slide, but this basically indicates one principle. Very important factor for our chanting is tolerance. Tarorapi Sahishnuna. So, two things. Humility should be coupled up with tolerance. Only when there is tolerance, there can be real humility. Because tolerance helps us to appreciate that, yes, I am not significant, I am insignificant. An intolerant person wonders why others are there to remain ignorant of his or her role as center of universe. Vaishnavas are tolerant, they realize their insignificance. How much lies between their desire to surrender to Krishna and actual fulfillment of desire. Right? So the tolerance is important. We cannot do anything about it. Like a father may want his child to study mathematics. Father was telling his child, hey, how much is 9 multiplied by 8? And the child said, well, 9 multiplied by 8 is 78. Father said, very good. Take this cookie. And the friend, father's friend was standing. He said, what kind of math are you teaching? 9 multiplied by 8 is 72. The son is saying 78. He won't pass his exam. Why are you rewarding him? You are putting him on the wrong track. The father said, well, I've been teaching him for the last so many days. When I asked him the same question, 9 multiplied by 8, yesterday he said 88. Today he has come to 78. In 2-3 days he will come to 72. What can I do? I can't control him and make him Einstein. So what can we do? Just tolerate. Is it not? So many situations are like that. We have some expectation from someone, but the relationship or the situation doesn't manifest. So all we can do is tolerate. So key number 8 is dependence on Krishna by taking shelter at the lotus feet of the holy name. We are all servants of Nama Prabhu. Nama Prabhu is the Harinam. And with great humility to offer service. And this may sometimes be bitter to the false ego, and we expect that the whole universe must cooperate with us. That is influence of false ego. Humility means to appreciate that yes, we are simply dependent on Krishna in all situations. Some days may be good days, some days may be bad days. But you just depend on Krishna to guide you, and when you do things according to that, then things will manifest gradually. So we should be ready for that dependence at all times. One devotee in America, he joined the temple. American man. And when he went out for sankirtan with the devotees, they were chanting this, Gaur Nityananda Bol Hari Bol Hari Bol. So sometimes in your Rath Yatra you must be chanting this. So this American man didn't understand what is the meaning of this. He tried to hear it. Gaur Nityananda, he couldn't understand. So what he heard was, when devotees were saying Gaur Nityananda Bol, what he heard from his angle was, where did Nityananda go? Where did Nityananda go? And others were saying, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. And he heard, I don't know, I don't know. And he thought, why is he asking this question so many times? Where did Nityananda go? I don't know, I don't know. But every day in the evening they are going and asking and answering the same question. But sometimes you are afraid to ask, thinking that people will think you are a fool. So he was thinking, I have this doubt, but I don't know whether I should ask or not. Maybe it is too simple a question, so I should not ask. So one day he was sitting in the prasada mall, and one devotee was sitting next to him, and he had just finished prasada, and this devotee was waiting, so he thought, nobody is there, good chance to ask him. So he just asked him, where did Nityananda go? And this devotee was eating prasada, just delivered. I don't know. What problem is it? So, he realized after a few days, okay, there is some mantra like this. But he kept on, in spite of his doubts, he kept going and kept chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So then, this is a very long one, but the whole idea is that we have to depend, and then come to the ninth key, which is discretion. That you do all these things, but don't expect, because I have followed everything, Krishna must give. Krishna is not like an employer, that you work so much, so salary must come. He will decide at his own discretion, when to give that, at his own discretion. So you may do everything, still the taste will take time. So all we can do is continue our prayers, continue with humility. 22 hours of your dealings and service with others affects your 2 hours of chanting. Just like offering bhoga takes only 10 minutes, but just getting it ready may take 12 hours. Purchasing, cutting, cleaning, cooking. So if you spend your whole day in good consciousness, then the next day's chanting will reflect that, because you have lived your life with these principles. It's not that during 2 hours we just act to Krishna. I am humble. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And as soon as japa is, someone says, please come, can you do this service? I am not coming. Go. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Please engage in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Prabhu, can you do this? No. You do. You are good. Hare Krishna. Please engage in your service. So Krishna will say, hey, this is what hypocrisy going on. He is asking me for service. When service is coming, he is not doing. So therefore there are no shortcuts. Krishna is looking for absolute honesty at all levels, at all times. And then when we actually apply
then drop by drop he will release that taste. It is not released in a big rush. It comes slowly but surely. So therefore, with these words I would like to come to an end to this series of seminars. And now I would be requesting His Grace Himeshwar Prabhu to please come and address the audience. Thank you all very much, all the devotees here at Kuala Lumpur. Especially I would like to thank the management, all the devotees in the temple management here who have made this visit possible. And thanks to Himeshwar Prabhu for facilitating this visit of ours. And we invite all of you, whenever you get an opportunity, please visit us at Chaupati. Consider that to be your home. And in future, let us again check notes about how the japa has gone. You know, I am supposed to be more responsible, but I am giving the seminar. So let us see how our sadhana bhakti progresses. And with these words, I would like to come to an end to this seminar. And please forgive if I have spoken anything inappropriate or anything which you may not have agreed upon. But this we are just trying to perform as a service. Many, many senior Vaishnavas are here. And today morning, our Prabhu gave fantastic class. And Tyaga Chaitanya Prabhu. And so many of the senior Vaishnavas are here. But I sincerely apologize in case there have been any mistakes on my part. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki Jai. Great Gauranga Prabhu ki Jai. So we like to invite His Grace Revelation Prabhu to come and ask Mr. Prabhu. Prabhuji. And we also like to invite His Grace Uday Prabhu to come and Shanti Bharana Prabhu, who is the Assistant Secretary General for ISKCON Asia. Come to the garden. Uday Prabhu to garden and Shanti Bharana Prabhu. Arivo!
Hare Krishna, Namo Vishnu, Padaya, Hare Bhutale, Sri Mate Jayakatasa Swami Nityanandane, Namo Acharya Padaya, Nithai Kruta Padaya, Gaura Gata Jamadani, Nagara Gram Tarani, Namo Vishnu, Padaya, Krishna Pushtaya, Bhutale, Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanandane, Namaste, Sarasvamine, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Sunnavadi Patrinde Tarine, Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasani Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, thank you very much. I think Revolution Prabhu, that wasn't a mistake. Garland should have gone for Gauranga Prabhu, spoke very well. Thank you very much. Actually, I thought of being here for the whole convention, but we had to go for Gita Jayanti in a program in Sitiyavan. It was a nice program. We distributed about more than 80 Gitas, if I'm not mistaken. They targeted for 70. They got more than 70. It showed the desire that they had, that sometimes the mercy just comes like that. And next year they are planning much more. That Sitakara Prabhu was the secretary there from Sitiyavan. And then we are going to Kluang Radhi Yatra this afternoon, heading to Kluang. So that's why I couldn't be here to listen. I just heard from number disregard and dependent. Wonderful presentation. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Whatever you talked about the mind, I'm thinking everything is talking about me. Something was going on my mind, somehow you knew about me very well, even though first time I'm meeting you. So I think we got long acquaintance. So, it's true. Many things that you said, it's all there. That while we do japa, a lot of lines come. A lot of lines. I think once Ravindra Sarupa gave a class, he said they were trying to talk to a professor to please come for morning program, come for morning one, come for Mangala. After a long time, then he agreed. He said, okay, I'll come. When he came for Mangala, he went. After that, he started chanting with the devotees. He started chanting, so chanting. I don't know how many rounds. And then after that, when Ravindra Prabhu asked, so how do you feel? He said, it's very good for planning. He said. I solved all my problems, a lot of problems I had, now today it's all some good idea, I say. So these things are there, definitely in our own Krishna consciousness we go through. So many things come, you know, in our mind, and we find a lot of solutions during japa. But how to disregard that? It's a tough decision itself, you know, because the good solutions are coming, and good plans as well. I find it very tough to actually get that away. Sometimes you see, we have two hands chanting, maybe when we trying to move the. So this back to basics, Shantirupa Mataji said that the theme, maybe, I'm not sure, is it back to basics? So sometimes when you think back to basics, then I'm wondering, when you say back to basics, that means, are we talking about because you are advanced, you're supposed to go back? Or are we have fell below, are we coming back to basics? Or is it because we are doing so many things except chanting Hare Krishna? So maybe I think that's the third one, I think is what I think is what we are trying to get back. It's like we're doing so many things, but we are forgetting the basic minimum, chanting Hare Krishna things. Then the other thing that came is because many times devotees are very inspired to think about the time when they first came to Hare Krishna movement. The enthusiasm which we have is pretty different than when you, after about 30 years, we always tend to think about the beginning times when the enthusiasm is very great. So much enthusiasm we had in the beginning, I think every devotee experiences this in the beginning days of the basics, you can say, when the devotee was able to actually talk to him about the chanting of the holy name. Or like those who are working in the offices or factories, they're just coming to the temple. And every day they are dreaming, if only this whole office was Krishna conscious. How nice it is. They'll be dreaming so many things, and they're skipping work, they're taking medical leave, they're taking all sorts of things, not because they are sick, because they are in the temple. So much so, sometimes the bosses know where they are, they say some medical leave, they ring up and they say, they ask the temple, is so and so there, he's an employee of our company. He's in the temple. So that enthusiasm, it's quite amazing when one is beginning, is always thinking how to get to the temple. And also while we are doing devotional service, the enthusiasm is amazing. I know that in the beginning, the time when we joined, Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu was the president that time, his enthusiasm is amazing, Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu. It's amazing what he used to do. Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, he used to be so tired. He used to come morning for Mangala Arati, then he will be in the temple, then after doing all that, then he will drive around town, he will be half asleep while driving the van, he drives into the city of Kuala Lumpur. It's so dangerous, but somehow he will go around and he will come back to the temple. Sometimes he will go to the restaurant to do some work and go to Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, then he will come back, he will be sleeping and driving. If we are tired, I will also be sleeping. And when we wake up, see, Vrindavan Chandra, I think we are seeing the same building three times. Then he also says, yeah, so I mean, maybe it's a dream, we can't be dreaming of the same thing. So it's true, the same building. So ensues, but it's this continuing devotional service. I remember another time we had a marathon, book distribution marathon. Those days we used to do book marathon, right, practically 24 hours, practically. There's one time, and the Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu used to be a very, you can say, like a bank which only accepts deposits, it doesn't come out.
So whenever we do sankirtan,
when we give money, when we ask for expenses, it somehow or other doesn't come. So then sometimes devotees, we used to have this amazing thing, Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu doesn't, can, very hard to get money out of it. So then we have these sankirtan parties we have. One time I remember one devotee trying to get a tire changed, found it difficult. So Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, that morning he went to go down his van, he started his engine, and then he started changing gears maybe, but the car never moved. Then he got down and he came and he saw the tires were missing. The van was put up on stone and both tires. When he came to me, he was like leading the Sankirtan party. He said, Prabhu, what I have done so bad with the devotee, I have to take away my tires and put it in his van, never even informing me. And he drove, Prabhu, I said, Sankirtan marathon, they'll do anything. they'll do anything. The enthusiasm of the devotee was so much that he just like, you know, it was different. That's how it was, you know. That time, because when he had the marathon or he had, you know, enthusiasm, our theme mantra was cook or crook, distribute a book. So the devotee just did that. Many stories of Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu I can tell, how very senior devotee, and right, he's still here with us. The enthusiasm which he has, and he's still so enthused. There's one very very exemplary Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, and the other devotees as well. The senior devotees, sometimes we can see the, though they would like to always think, you know, if I only was 25 years go back, if only I could be, when we join at 25 or 50, we'll think, if only I was a devotee, if I was only born a devotee, it keeps going. Like that back to God. So the enthusiasm, maybe back to basics, maybe one of the prime thoughts that the one has is the enthusiasm to serve, the enthusiasm to chant also, like what Prabhu was giving a class, I do not know, that before we used to wake up very early, finish the round, like you say, and it could be mechanical, but there was enthusiasm, that the whole day was planned out to do so many things, we have book distribution, to do this, to do this. I know that when this is good for those devotees who are just students or still working, but are still coming, when we have bhaktas, we used to go out, come to the temple on Saturday night and hear a lecture, and His Holiness Jananda Maharaj would be giving the talk. Practically half the talk would be why you are wasting your time. And then the next morning, make sure the whole program goes, and then you go out on book distribution, then you'll be really craving for prasadam. We go out on book distribution, come back at about 4 or 5 o'clock, and we get real wonderful prasadam. And we used to have nice puri, salva, chutney, sweet rice, and things like this. It's a real, that's what we had before, but nowadays, somehow these mihuns and these mihareens have come in and taken over the movement. Actually, what took over the movement is Nasilama, Mikari, Kuruma and these things. It's not other things. So the prasadam that we used to have, it used to be very standard prasad, and the devotees were hankering for it. And it come back, take prasad, it take a little bit rest, and then there'd be a heavy kirtan in the 7 o'clock arati. Before that there would be bhajan, and we have, so these are the basics which we learn. Nandini Mataji will be there singing. If anybody didn't sing, they had it. They get the thought. Mataji will toss them out, you know, and she say, what's wrong with you? Immediately. She trained very fast, trained devotees fast. And then we would go for the bhajan, go for the Tulasi Arati, will be a crowded affair. Many devotees will be there. Then they go for the main arati, which is a real crowd. And practically everybody will be dragged into chant and dance, you know, and then the class, and then this is the basic. But sometimes nowadays in some places some of these things are lacking. The bhajan, you know, nowadays sometimes not many devotees even know the songs of bhajans in the Vaishnava song. They're sad to say that not much of them are taking an attempt to actually chant the traditional the way it is. There are many. Also because probably the movement is expanding, they hear they've got so many tapes and all these things. Nowadays they do not know the Jaya Radha Madhava prayers, the different tunes have come in into Jaya Radha Madhava. I'm quite surprised to see when the standard prayers where bhajan is to be sung. I think this basics are really important. Even Mangalarti prayers, if you sang wrongly on the spot, Ilapati Maharaj, Bhakti Vikas Maharaj will stop, and then he will sing, and then we have to follow exactly like that. So these are important basics to follow. They also controlling our mind for sure, that we do not just create new things as we go. We are creating a lot of things, forgetting the old, the tradition or the culture or what we were taught by Srila Prabhupada, to just follow that and go. Sometimes it's difficult to tolerate what to do, but I think this things form part of the whole, part of as a society as a whole. Even chanting of during Rathi Yatra, Gaur Nityananda Haribo, sometimes devotees chant, even that was stopped at a certain time. Maharajas of Kapilajas chant Hare Krishna on the way. There are things like this are there, so new devotees sometimes they may not be aware of some of these things that we were chastised for doing like this. So, back to basics, it's a wonderful topic. But the enthusiasm, I think more than anything, I think we should touch on the enthusiasm, because how when someone is in the beginning, they can really get a lot of enthusiasm, do things. We wanted to do things which were impossible when we are in the new in the movement. That was what we were trying to do. Many things that were impossible, we tried to do, and many blunders as well, of course. We do a lot of things that blunders, we were corrected by our masters, our gurus, our authorities. The enthusiasm is there, but at the same time we were corrected. Corrected by our spiritual masters and authorities. I am sorry that I've taken probably Goranga's time, if I'm not mistaken, is that not your time? For the wonderful presentation. Thank you. Thankful for having this convention, because it's like when the Guru Maharaj comes or the Swamis come, they attack on a bigger whole devotee. But sometimes they are enthusiastic to see. Prabhupada wanted to conquer the world actually. He didn't want to just conquer America. He wanted to conquer the world. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada disciples have the same desire, that they want to conquer the world actually. So, but what happens when they come, there's a big crowd, they attract this crowd. But they depend ultimately on the local setup to trap every unit. Because everything starts also with the single unit, and they attract the big, huge mass. But then, when they leave, then it's up to the local how to cultivate the single unit and to keep the big mass as well. So that they depend on the local congregations to do that. Like that, each time there's a big camp, and then the local. The other systems have to take place, how every single unit is taken care, and this congregation will help because they get together, and every time you break it into every smaller group, and very quickly can take care efficiently. I'd like to thank you again. I think Prasadam is waiting. If he stops speaking, we can take Prasadam now. I'm going to do exactly that. Let's open my mind. Thank all of you again. We thank Vrindavan Chandra Prabhu, our senior most devotee here, and all the other senior Vaishnavas, and youth especially. I think in this congregation, if you take an average, everybody may be considered a youth actually. If you take the total ages divided by the number of heads, it could be a youth convention. So we thank all the youth also for attending, and thank you all very much. Thank the management of SDMKL for this convention. Hare Krishna.
So Hare Krishna, we are to give away this small token appreciation to both speakers from Chaupati, His Great Guru Prabhu and His Great Jagannath Priya Prabhu. My ultimate greeting. Hare Krishna. So Jagannath Priya Prabhu is in the session, so we will do it after the prasadam. So we will break for prasadam now, and we will be coming back at 2:30. The next session is at 2:30. Sharp, Jagannath Priya Prabhu. Hare Krishna.